허무가 군자비가 His divine grace, Abhaya Charanamada Bhaktivedanta Goswami, Srila Prabhupada, Krishnan, founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada Kijaya, Ananda Goti, Vaishnava, Vrinda Kijaya, Namacharya, Srila Huidas, Thakur Kijaya, Kuren, Se, Koho, Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu, Nityananda, Sri Vedagada, Shivasati Gaur Bhaktivinoda Vijaya Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopakopada Sayankun Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Vrindavanam Kijaya Vacharam Kijaya Vasami Kijaya Yamunamai Kijaya Shrimati Lasidevi Kijaya Samaveda Bhakta Vrindavanam Kijaya Gaur Premananda All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Om Ganapati Nanda Shaganjana Shrakaya Chakshurum Veditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So, as I mentioned, we're going to talk about the Dasha Avatar Shlokas by Srila Jayadeva Goswami. And these shlokas deal with the 10 most prominent or most well-known incarnations of the Supreme Personality of God. Maybe you can take those posters off of that iPod stand. They don't belong there. Nothing should be controlled. So they deal with the most prominent or well-known incarnations of Krishna. Although there are unlimited incarnations of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Srimad Bhagavatam describes that just like the waves of the ocean, there's so many waves, that's how many incarnations there are. So in other words, unlimited. And it's described that the Supreme Lord has incarnations in every species of life. Not only human species, of course we're going to hear about some fish species, and tortoise species, but every single species of life is 8,400,000 species of life. So, therefore, what happened?
I was just sitting on the floor.
Oh, probably. Yeah.
Excuse me, please.
Yeah, that's not good. So, therefore, anytime you see any species of life, you should understand Krishna incarnates in that species. I'm not going to get into the insects, but that's also a species of life. So these are the 10 well-known avatars of the Lord. Now the word avatar basically means to descend. Avatar means crossing down. So what does that mean? That when Krishna comes down, he comes down in the same transcendental form, but that transcendental form looks differently each time he comes. In the Gita, Krishna states, Ajopisam Adiviyatma Bhutanam Isharopisam Prakritim Swam Adisaya Sambhavamiyatmaya. And when I come down, Krishna says, I come down in my same form. When we are down, so we change our bodies in every life. Krishna keeps the same body. That's why Krishna remembered when he taught the Gita to Arjuna and the sun god millions of years before he taught it 5,000 years ago. Because Krishna has the same transcendental. He is the same transcendental body. So try to remember that. So let's go ahead. And we know all these things by the mercy of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who is in the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, and who is my divine spiritual master. And he's the founder of Acharya. Founder means he started this time. Acharya means he gives us the instructions and example how to act to progress in spiritual life and help others progress in spiritual life. So, specifically, we're going to make reference here to this great personality, Jayadeva Goswami, who appeared about 1 or 2 centuries before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jayadeva Goswami is famous for being the author of a book called the Gita Govinda. Anyone heard of the Gita Govinda here? Famous book about Krishna's pastimes. Now within this Gita Govinda, we find the Dasha Avatar shlokas. Very interesting. Now I'll just give you one story that illustrates how exalted Jayadeva Goswami is. Once upon a time, Jayadeva Goswami was writing part of the Gita Govinda. And as he was writing, he got the inspiration in his heart that he should write, Krishna bows down and touches Radharani's feet. That's quite shocking. Not for you. But anyway, he got the inspiration. And he thought, Krishna's God. How can he bow down to anybody? And so he thought, I got to take a bath. So he went to the Ganges to take a bath. He was actually the court pundit for the king, Lakshman Singh. So he had an exalted position, although he lived very simply in a grass hut on the bank of the Ganges. So he went to take a bath, and he told his wife, when I get back, you know, I'm going to need some prasad. So he goes to take a bath, leaves that particular part of the Gita Govinda unfinished. You know, because he's not sure what to put. So as he's taking a bath, Krishna comes and he assumes the form of Jayadeva Goswami. And he sits down, asks Jayadeva Goswami's wife for prasadam. Okay? She serves him prasadam. She thinks she's just serving her husband. And then Krishna sits down and completes that verse. So a few minutes later, Krishna disappears. Jayadeva Goswami comes back and he says, "Dear Priya, where is prasadam?" She said, "What do you mean? You already ate." And she said, "No." He said, "No, I didn't eat. You know, what's wrong with you, dear?" And she said, "You ate, and then you sat down at your desk, and you rolled a little bit." And he said, "Something's happening there." And then he went to his desk and found that particular verse. It was written by Krishna. But Krishna bows down and begs forgiveness at Radharani's lotus feet. And there's many stories about Krishna doing that when Radharani is very angry. Anyway, Vrindavan has many stories. So that's Jayadeva Goswami's exalted position, that Krishna personally came down to verify Jayadeva Goswami's realizations. So a few verses first, just to establish who Krishna is in relationship to the avatars, before we get to Jayadeva Goswami's Dasa Avatar slogans. This verse is very nice for the Bhagavatam, 1.3.28. Ete Changsa Kalapusa Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. It's from a chapter in the Bhagavatam in which the various avatars are listed. And it, towards the end of the chapter, it says, all of the above mentioned incarnations are either plenary portions or portions of plenary portions of the Lord. But Lord Sri Krishna is the original personality of Godhead. Whoops. It's advancing. All of them appear on planets whenever there is disturbance created by the atheists. The Lord incarnates to protect the theists. So, in other words, when we talk about incarnations or avatars, I just want to make it very clear. It's all the same person acting in different circumstances. For example, when someone goes to the office, he's the same person as when he's at home, but he just looks differently, dresses differently, and acts differently. So Krishna has many different offices. And of course, his office when he comes to the material world is Maritranaya Saranam. Who does the rest? Vinashaya Chadushrita. He comes to destroy the miscreants and to establish principles. Is that too loud for people, the air conditioner? No, it's not bothering. I'm trying to speak loudly. So, anyway, so that's the purpose of Krishna coming down, and here we see different categories of incarnations or avatars. There's Guna Avatar, which means like Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, Lord Shiva, Purusha Avatar, Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshar Vishnu, Shiradakshar Vishnu, Yuga Avatar, that means the avatar that appears in each age to teach the Yuga Dharma, Vanvantara Avatar, 14 of those in each day of Lord Brahma, Leela Avatar, means playful avatar, and finally, Shaktivesh Avatar, means a person who is empowered by Krishna, may not be Krishna himself, But as someone who's in power, like Maharaj Prithu was like that too. So you see a picture of some of the avatars there. And of course, at the bottom is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And here's another illustration of this. There's Krishna in the center. And the basic avatars we're going to be talking about today, and you'll hear about them in a second. Another verse is from the Brahma Samhita, which was written or spoken by Lord Brahma, which establishes Krishna's position. Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarva Karna. And Lord Brahma, who is the primary authority in this universe, he is the first living entity in the universe, he states, Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the Supreme Godhead. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin. And he is the prime cause of all causes. So, and also one can apply their sense of logic to understand which appearance of Godhead is, let's say, the primary personality. This keeps going ahead without my permission. Somehow other computers operate without permission. So there's a logical way to figure out who's the original personality of Godhead. We see who exhibits the most qualities of all of Krishna's manifestations. And if we see that Krishna himself has four qualities that no other appearance of Godhead has. Does anyone know what those four qualities are? What are they? What?
Rupa Madhurya.
Yeah, one beautiful form.
Lila Madhurya.
Speak English. I know you're sophisticated.
Form, beautiful form.
Yes.
Beautiful pastimes.
Yes.
And love.
Loving devotees.
Yeah, loving devotees. And praying fruit.
Plays a flute. So those are four qualities. Do you see only in Braj does Krishna exhibit intimate pastimes. Outside, he has these pastimes of awe and reverence. In other words, nobody is walking up to Lord Vishnu with slapping him on the back and saying, hey buddy, how are you doing? But you see that Krishna's coward boys are doing that with Krishna, isn't it? They slap him on the back and they ask him, how are you doing? And Krishna wrestles with them. Does anyone wrestle with Lord Vishnu? Generally, no one wrestles with Lord Ram either. So they wrestle with Lord Krishna. Krishna plays the flute. There's so many different aspects of the pastimes that illustrate that Krishna is the original. So let's go on to the first avatar, who's called the Matsya avatar. So Matsya means fish, and Krishna is a fish avatar. And here's the verse, we can all chant that. Pralaya payodi jale dritavan nasivedam vihitava itra charitam akyedam keshava drita mina sarira jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare. And the translation is, O Keshava, Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of a fish, all glories to you. You easily acted as a boat in the form of a giant fish to give protection to the Vedas, which have become immersed in the turbulent sea of devastation. So there's actually two pastimes in regard to this fish incarnation. One time, there was a demon named Hayagriva who stole the Vedas. Hayagriva means a horse-headed demon. Actually, Krishna has an incarnation too called Hayagriva, in which he spoke the Vedas in that incarnation. But this was a demon, not Krishna. And this Hayagriva, he stole the Vedic knowledge and took it away at the time of, this was at the time of the annihilation. And the fish avatar came to save at this particular point. Another story regarding the fish avatar, or Matsya avatar, is there was a king, Satyavrata. Actually, where's Satyavrata?
Right here.
So there's King Satyavrata right there. So there was a king. king named Satyavrata. And one time he was offering respects to the river, and he put his palms together to offer some river water, to his oblations. And he looked at a little fish there. And he got ready, he was just thinking, I don't want to eat fish. He wasn't a fish eater. So he got ready to put the fish back in the water, and the fish said to him, Pishu Racha, save me, there's big fish that are going to eat me. So he said, okay, he put him in a little fish bowl. And then in a few minutes, the fish grew to so big he couldn't fit in the fish bowl anymore. So. And then the king put him in a bigger body of water, finally put him in a lake, finally put him in the ocean, and the king said, you must be God. And then Macha spoke. He said, there's going to be an inundation, that means a big flood, and you have to get this boat in this boat, and I will pull the boat, and I will speak the Vedic literatures to you. This is somewhat like the Noah's Ark story in the Bible. And so this is what happened. So that's the Matsya avatar, or the fish incarnation of the Lord. So next we go, next avatar up, is called the Kurma avatar. Kurma means a turtle or a tortoise. There's a place in Andhra Pradesh called Kurma Kshetra. Anyone have been there? Just two of us. No one else has been to Kurma Kshetra. You've been to Kurma Kshetra? Anyone else? Just Sadhvi went with us. We had a large group who took it. So the Kurma Kshetra, they actually worship Kurmadev. It's like an ancient temple in Andhra Pradesh. And they have all these little turtles that they serve too. Do you remember that, Sadhvi? The self-manifested deity of Lord Kurma. Very, very beautiful, quiet place. Whoops, this is still going ahead. We got to the boar. All right, Kurma. So, here's the prayer. Shatiriha vipulatore tishtati tava krishte darane darane darana kena chakra gavishte te shavadrita kurma sharira jaya jagadisha re jaya jagadisha re jaya jagadisha re. The translation is, O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of a tortoise, all glories to you in this incarnation as a divine tortoise. The great Mandara Mountain rests upon your gigantic back as a pivot for churning the ocean of milk. From holding up the huge mountain, a large scar-like depression is put in your back, which has become most glorious. So the reason for this incarnation is that the demigods and the demons, they made a deal. And that deal was that they would churn the milk ocean. And they would come out eventually with the amrit or nectar. So they started the churn, and this Mount Mandara was so heavy it had to be brought by Garuda. And it kept sinking. So Kurma, that is Krishna, assumed the form of a tortoise as the pivot place for this mountain. And then what happened, as they were pivoting the mountain over there, tortoise, that is, let me see if I can turn that off. Yeah. Okay, got it. So as they were pivoting the mountain, that's somehow or other has a mind of its own. As they were pivoting the mountain, it was scratching the tortoise's back. So they were doing service for Lord Tortoise, and they also were polishing his jewels at the same time. So this way, this is called the Gyata Sukriti. The Gyata Sukriti means they were doing devotional service without knowing that they were doing devotional service. And that's how Lord Tortoise engaged them in the service. And then we get to Varaha Avatar. Varaha is basically a boar incarnation of the Lord. And we'll chant. Vasasati Dashana Shikare Dharani Tavalagna Shashini Kalanka Kaleva Nidagna Keshavadrita Shukara Rupa Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare. And the translation is, O Keshava, Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of a boar, all glories to you, the earth which had become immersed in the Garbhodak ocean, at the bottom of the universe, sits fixed upon the tip of your tusk like a spot upon the moon. So this Lord Boar incarnation, Lord Brahma incarnation, appeared to fight with the demon Hiranyaksha because the earth had been disturbed and sunk to the bottom of the Garbhodak ocean. And then Lord Boar picked up the earth, and then he was challenged by this demon Hiranyaksha, who was the brother of Hiranyakashipu. And basically they had a nice fight, and this is called a Leela, because Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, doesn't need to fight to kill the demons. The demons can be killed by Krishna's energies or Krishna's devotees. But Krishna enjoys having this fight. In fact, both these demons, Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, were devotees of Krishna who appeared to allow Krishna to fight them. And then they got cursed. We know they got cursed in the spiritual world by the four Kumaras that were Jai and Vijay. And then the next incarnation is called Narasingha Avatar, who is the half-man, half-lion incarnation of the Lord. And we'll recite this prayer. Tavakara Kamala Vare Nakama Bhuta Singha Dalita Ranyakashipu Kanugringham Keshava Krita Narahari Rupa Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare. And the translation is, O Keshava, Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of half man, half lion, all glory is to you, just as one can easily crush a wasp between one's fingernails. So in the same way, the body of the wasp-like demon, Hiranyakashipu, has been ripped apart by the wonderful pointed nails on your beautiful lotus hands. So, of course, I think everybody here is familiar with this particular incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Hiranyakashipu, as I mentioned before, and Hiranyaksha were two associates previously of Lord Vishnu in the spiritual world, and then they were cursed to come down so Lord Vishnu could enjoy killing them. And Hiranyakashipu had as his son who? Prahlad Maharaj, one of the greatest devotees of the Lord. The next incarnation is Vamana, or the dwarf incarnation. And this incarnation is very interesting. In the 8th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the story is told. Chalayasi vikramane palima bhuta vamana paranaka nira janita janapavana keshavadrita vamana rupa jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of a dwarf Brahmin, all glories to you, O wonderful dwarf, by your massive steps. You deceived King Bali, and by the Ganges water that has emanated from the nails of your lotus feet, you deliver all living beings within this world. So the story of the dwarf incarnation of the Lord is as follows. That Bali Maharaj, who was related to Prahlad Maharaj, actually the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj, had taken over the whole universe. He had become very powerful, following his spiritual master Shukracharya. And the demigods didn't do such a good job following their spiritual master Brihaspati. So because of that, the demons became powerful. And what Bali Maharaj did is he was performing a sacrifice, and while he was performing his sacrifice, the dwarf incarnation of Krishna, Vamana, came to beg 3 steps of land. And we know that with these 3 steps of land, he took over the earth planet, the whole universe, and with the 3rd step, he pushed Bali Maharaj down to the Patala Loka planets. So this Vamana incarnation appeared because his mother and father, Kashyapa and Aditi, prayed for an incarnation to get Indra back in his throne. So that's the Vamana incarnation. Next incarnation is one of my favorite, Parashuram. And he killed the Kshatriyas, as we'll hear about. Kshatriya vidira mahe jagadapagata papam Snapayasi payasi shamita bhavatapam Keshavadrita brigupati rupa Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Jaya Jagadisha Hare, Jaya Jagadisha Hare. And the translation is as follows. O Keshava, O Lord of the Universe, O Lord Hari, will assume the form of Bhrigupati Parashuram. All glories to you. At Kurukshetra, you bathe the earth in the rivers of blood from the bodies of the demoniac Kshatriyas that you have slain. The sins of the world are washed away by you, and because of you, people are relieved from the blazing fire of material existence. So, Parashuram, I'll let this go. But Parashuram's story is very interesting. His father's name was Jamadagni. And Jamadagni had this desire cow, and this desire cow, Kamadhenu, was wanted by the king, Kartavira Arjuna. So Kartavira Arjuna tried to steal the desire cow, but he was unable to do it because that desire cow was able to come back to Jamadagni. And then finally, he did steal the desire cow. Then Parashuram went, took his axe, and killed all the sons of Kartavira. Killed Kartavira Arjuna, sorry. Then later on, Kartavira Arjuna came back, and he killed his sons killed Jamadagni, and Parashuram, in order to enact revenge, went and killed all the Kshatriyas 21 times. And there were rivers of blood created by this Kshatriya incarnation, this three personalities. Got it. Later on, Parashuram left this world. He's situated in the higher planets right now, and he gave up his fighting. So that's Parashuram, the incarnation of the Lord. And after Parashuram, let's go back. Okay, then there's Lord Ram, who you're all familiar with. Vitarasi dikshirurane dikpate kamaniyam dashamukamoli balim ramaniyam keshavadrita rama sharira jai jagadisha hare jai jagadisha hare jai jagadisha hare. O Keshava, Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of Ramachandra. All glories to you. In the battle of Lanka, you destroyed the 10-headed demon Ravan and distributed his heads as a delightful offering to the presiding deities of the 10 directions, headed by Indra. This action was long desired by all of them, who were much harassed by this monster. So also keep in mind that this Ravan was one of the personalities, Jaya and Vijaya, who was cursed to take birth on this earth planet and to fight with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And everyone knows the story of Lord Ram, so we're not going to talk again. So Balaram is the next one. And Vahasi Vapushi Vishadeva Sanam Teladabam Alahati Vita Milita Yubunabhyam Keshavadreta Haladara Rupa Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare Jai Jagadisha Hare. And it's okay, Shiva, O Lord of the Universe, O Lord Hari, who has assumed the form of Balaram, the wielder of the plow, all glories to you. On your brilliant white body you wear garments the color of a fresh blue rain cloud. These garments are colored like the beautiful dark hue of the river Yamuna, who feels great fear due to the striking of your plowshare. So just recently, of course, we celebrated the appearance day of Lord Balaram. Lord Balaram is the first expansion of Krishna. When Krishna expands, there's Balaram and Arjuna and Aniruddha. Those are the first quadruple expansions. And then from there, you get Vasudeva, Sankarshan, Arjuna, and Aniruddha. And when Lord Ram appeared, you had Ram, Lakshman, Bart, and Shatrughna. So these are the Chaturvyuha expansions that appear with the Lord whenever the Lord appears. And so these Chaturvyuha expansions, Balaram is the first expansion of Krishna for the pastimes in Vrindavan and also for the pastimes outside of Vrindavan. Now, one interesting story about Balaram that I just found out today, that we all know that Balaram's father-in-law was Kakudmi. And he was in the heavenly planets looking for a proper husband for his daughter. Now, Kakudmi and his daughter had appeared many years or eons or ages before Lord Balaram appeared. But while they were in the heavenly planets, specifically visiting Lord Brahma, a lot of time passed on the earth planet, because the relative time on the earth planet in relationship to Lord Brahma's abode is frankly inconceivable, just like the second Lord Brahma's abode is eons, ages on this earth planet. So anyway, so he looked up, went to the abode of Lord Brahma to find a husband for his daughter. And Lord Brahma was watching a dancing performance, and finally at the end of the dancing performance, he says to Maharaj Kakudmi, what do you want? And he said, I'm looking for a proper husband for my daughter. And Lord Brahma said, guess what? Everybody who you knew, anybody who knew them, anybody who knew them, and anybody who knew them, they're all gone. Nobody will even remember their names. But if you hurry down to the earth planet, then she can marry Lord Balaram. So they hurried down to the earth planet. But there was a problem. What was the problem? Anyone know what the problem? She was gigantic. She was like 20 feet tall. How did you know that? Oh, you know the whole story. Very few people know this story. She was gigantic. She was like 20 feet tall. And they went to Krishna. These giants appeared in Braj. Actually in Dwarka, sorry. Appeared in Dwarka. And they went to Krishna and they said, here is a wife for Balaram. Because Balaram had to get married first before Krishna, because that's the system. The older brother has to marry before the younger brother. So he's like, here's a wife. And Krishna said, I'll accept her, but there's a problem. You know, if you have wife is 20 feet tall and the husband is normal size. You know, maybe Balaram was 8 feet tall, 7 feet tall. It doesn't work. Usually the wife should be shorter than the husband. Usually. I mean, sometimes it's a nice way, but not a difference of 10 feet. It's not appropriate. So Krishna said, I guess I have to accept. And then Balaram, it's a very interesting story. Balaram, in the middle of the night while she was sleeping, he corrected her limbs. He brought her down to size. I mean, many husbands may want to bring their wives down to Sardis, but not in the same way. So, or wives bring their husbands down to Sardis. So that's an interesting story about Balaram. And of course, Balaram is the original spiritual master. The statement in the Vedic literature is Nayamatma Bala Hinena Labwa. Without the mercy of Balaram, no one can make any spiritual advancement. And Balaram appears in this age, at least over 500 years ago, as Lord Nityananda, and manifests as our guru, the spiritual master. So that's Balaram, very important personality. Next one is Buddha. The Buddha of avatar, and here's the chanting. Nindasi yager videyaha shuti jatam sadayaradaya dashita pashugatam kesavadrita buddha sharira jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare. And the translation is, O Kesava, Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of Buddha, all glories to you, O Buddha of compassionate heart, who decry the slaughtering of poor animals performed according to the rules of Vedic sacrifice. So, very, very interesting about the appearance of Lord Buddha, because it appears that he was decrying Vedic literatures or discouraging people from following the Vedic literatures. And I'll explain why he was doing that. One reason is that people were using the Vedic literatures to justify animal killing. Just like there are some injunctions in the Vedic literatures. For example, if you want to eat a goat, does anyone know how you can eat a goat? Once a month, on the full moon day, you go out in the middle of the night and you take a chopper and you say, what does that mean? In the next life, you will get a chance to eat me. So they were using the Vedas to excuse more than that. You know, rampant animal killing. Just like even today, you'll see a slaughterhouse sometimes in India. It's like Kali Slaughterhouse. You ever seen that? I've seen it. Especially in Bengal. So, Buddha came to stop that because he was concerned with ahimsa. His primary teaching, according to Srila Prabhupada, was ahimsa paramo dharma. That's one reason. Another reason he came was the people were getting discouraged with the Vedic culture because the Brahmins were utilizing their position to make money. And they established this caste system. The caste system, of course, is based upon how or where or what type of family one is born in. And according to that, the misunderstanding is that one stays within that particular obligation or occupation or varna. But of course, Krishna in the Gita states, Chaturvarna Mayashustam Gunakam Vibhagasa. The one is known to be of a particular varna according to his qualities of work, not according to janma, birth. So people were, the Brahmanas especially, they wanted this caste system because it kept them in an exclusive position so that they could exploit people. If you have a monopoly, you know what monopoly is? That is, if you can limit the supply of something, then and the demand remains constant or goes up, the price goes up. And what product were the Brahmanas producing? They were producing different samskaras. Because there's basically 10 main samskaras. There's the Garbhadham samskara, the Namakarana, the safe birth samskara, not in this order necessarily. And finally, Antyeshti. So if you wanted to give your kid a name, you had to have a Brahman. Otherwise your kid would be no name. What's your name? No name. So if you wanted to, if you wanted to have a funeral and die and not go to hell, you needed a Brahman. So 1-800, call a Brahman. So Buddha was actually rejecting this whole conception of caste consciousness. And so not only did Buddhism start at that same time, there was Jainism and other people who rejected the Vedas. Later on, Sripad Shankaracharya brought people back to the Vedic literatures. He taught sort of a covered Buddhism. And then, after that, we have the Acharyas, like Ramanujacharya and others, and of course Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who brought people all the way back to the real understanding of the Vedic literatures, which is a theistic understanding. And finally, we have Kalki, who we're going to be seeing quite soon. Not soon, at the end of the age of Kali. Malacha Nivaha Nidane Kalayasi Karavalam Dumakejamiva Kimabi Karalam Keshavadrita Kakisharira Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare. O Keshava, Lord of the Universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of Kalki, all glories to you. You appear like a comet and carrying a terrifying sword for bringing about the annihilation of the wicked barbarian men at the end of Kali Yuga. Oh my God. So that's a long time. Does anyone know how many years? Any guess? What? More than 400,000. What? About 437, when I was last counting. Last year it was 438. So he comes to sort of wipe everybody out. And that's the end of this list, but there's some more prayers by Jayadeva Goswami. Shri Jayadeva Kaveridam Ditam Udaram Shrinu Sukadam Shubadam Bhavasharam Keshavadrita Dasaviruppa Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare Jaya Jagadisha Hare. O Keshava, O Lord of the Universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed these 10 different forms of incarnation, all glories to you. O readers, please hear this hymn of the poet Jayadev, which is the most excellent and a water of happiness, a bestower of auspiciousness, and is the best thing in this dark world. So one thing I want to mention before we read the final prayer here is that at the end of each of these verses, Jayadeva Goswami says, Keshava Drita Narahari Rupa, Keshava Drita Shukara Rupa, Keshava Drita Rama Shavira. He's actually pointing out Eti Chang Sakalakum Sa Krishna Stu Bhagwan, that Krishna is the source of all the incarnations. He's saying, Keshava, who is Keshava? How do you know it's Krishna? What does it mean?
Long hair.
Long hair, also Isha, the supreme controller. So Krishna has long black hair. It refers to Krishna Vrindavan. And so that indicates that he's saying that this is the same person, Krishna, who is taking on these different forms for pastime's sake. And then he has one final verse. This is a different melody. So we'll just repeat this without a melody. Vedangudarate jadanti viharate bhugalam udbi bhratte daicham darayate valam chalayate kachachayam kurvate Olasjam jayate halam kalayate karunyam matavante Malajjan murchayate tasakute kute Krishnaya tubhyam namaha. And the translation is, O Lord Krishna, I offer my obeisances unto you who appear in the forms of these 10 incarnations. In the form of Macha, you rescue the Vedas, and as Kurma, you bear the Mandara mountain on your back. As Varaha, you lift the earth with your tusk, and in the form of Nrsingha, you tear open the chest of the Daitya Hiranyakashipu. In the form of Vamana, you trick the Daitya King Bali by asking him for only 3 steps of land. And then you take away the whole universe from him by expanding your steps. As Parashuram, you slay all the wicked Kshatriyas, and as Ramachandra, you conquer the Rakshasa king Ravana. In the form of Balaram, you carry a plow with which to subdue the wicked and draw toward you the river Yamuna. As Lord Buddha, you show compassion toward all the living and suffering, being suffering in this world. And at the end of Kali Yuga, you appear as Kalki to bewilder the Malechas, degraded, low-class men. And that's Krishna. Radha Gokananda, whose appearance day, it's Krishna's appearance day, but it's also the appearance day of Radha Gokananda, this Friday. And that was 1985. 1985 to today. How many years is that? 34 years. And this original temple was started in 1983, the building, and myself and a group of devotees actually built it by hand. And the day before, because this is very much reminiscent of what happened in 1985, the day before the temple opening was there, we didn't have a floor on it in the temple room. You remember this, don't you? There weren't stairs going up to the temple. And so somehow or other, I put on my work outfit and built it. The last day, the last minute, right before everyone was arriving. And we had several thousand people that day. Midnight, and there was Holiness Vivekananda was there. Veda Vyas Priya Maharaj was there during the opening. What? Anyway, we had a nice crew, but I wasn't there because I collapsed. I collapsed, and I showed up in the midnight RT because I had been working to construct the temple. So, in the same way, we have a new hall that's being constructed, and the formal opening of the hall will be on Friday at 5 o'clock, where we're going to cut the ribbons. The main donors today will be cutting the ribbon for the hall. And inaugurating the hall, Lord Krishna's service, and it's being done at the last minute again. Somehow or other, in Krishna consciousness, when we do something, it's always done at the last minute. Like Srila Prabhupada, when he would visit different temples, he would always remark, not always, but many times remark, why does it smell like fresh paint? Because the night before, the devotees are up all night long painting. And then if you see videos of the classes the Prabhupada was giving the next day, most of the devotees were sleeping. And Prabhupada one time looked around at all the devotees and he said, as everyone was sleeping in the room, he said, this movement is going on only by Krishna's mercy. So, you know, Krishna tests his devotees in many ways. Like you see, Bhagavad Gita is a test of Arjuna to see if he was willing to follow Krishna's instructions to act against his compassion or against his attachment for his family. And so in many ways, Krishna tests us. And if we pass the test, we go back to home, back to the spiritual world. So anyway, so Friday, we are celebrating Lord Krishna's appearance, and Krishna is the source of all the other incarnations. So any questions or comments? Yes?
Yeah, you had mentioned she was 25 feet tall.
20 feet tall.
20, yeah.
Yeah, I just measured 20 feet.
Yeah, yeah. But the thing is, in this country, a lot of the giants, the skulls of the giants were found.
Yeah.
But they were taken from the public.
Okay.
By this corporation.
Yeah, all right. All right. Wait, we'll talk about that.
What yuga did this happen? When she was here, she was about 20 feet tall.
All right,
was that golden age, or what?
It was a different yuga. It was a different yuga, believe me.
Yeah.
Okay, anyway, don't worry about the size. I didn't really wasn't careful enough with my measuring stick to actually figure out what size she was.
But what yuga was it? Was it a golden age?
It was a different age.
So it wasn't the dark one or the gold one?
No.
Somewhere in the silver or bronze?
It was a better age. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai.